You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. In the corporate operations center, otherwise as a studio bedroom turn studio in Costa Mesa, but it's the headquarters. All right, deal with it. Just for the record, that Macron dude in France is an idiot. Okay, just so there's no doubt about it. What an absolute fool, honestly. What a historical buffoon. He's dying in France. Approval rating in the 30s, and that's fixing to go south. And the shit he said over the weekend, like, it's like insulting that he would do that on the 100th commemoration of the armistice that ended World War One. So anyway, I'll talk about him more later. Flew back into Los Angeles last night. Whoa, yeah. You didn't fly the normal route into Los Angeles. A series of kind of, I don't know, switchbacks. Normally you fly straight in from the east. Didn't do that because of the firefighting stuff, and I'm sure some aircraft, we use them, but boxes set up, operational boxes set up for aircraft fighting fires and things like that. So rerouted. Good view of all the smoke. You know, California's got some issues relative to coexisting with nature, and they're on display. You can't allow, first of all, there was a fire a couple years ago down at Camp Pendleton, and so we were, let's fight this thing, right? And I remember General Tulin was a MEF commander. He was up in 29 Palms, and this thing was getting out of control. And we're in the operations center, and we're like, let's do this. And everybody's getting, you know, motivated. We've done this stuff. We know how to do stuff. We know how to fight, right? We have baskets, like, either on or headed to every CH-46 and CH-53. Some Hueys, they're on the flight line. They're ready to go. The crews are being briefed, blah, 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 blah. Tulin flies in from 29 Palms. He flies around the base. He's looking at the fire raging everywhere. He gets out. He heads right down to the airfield, and he's like, why are these air crews in the air? Blah, blah. But we don't control them, right? The civilians control them. Civilians say, hey, man, dial it down. It's got to burn itself out. What? What do you mean? What are we going to do, sit here? Yeah, we're going to sit here. There's critical infrastructure we will protect, but it's a fool's errand, man. We're not gonna waste the ground crews or the air crews and the platforms fighting a fool's errand. And we were like, what? And then they kind of educate you in terms of this kind of firefighting. There's too much fuel. Okay, you can't knock this thing down. There's too much fuel. It's too big. So there's certain places that we will focus things on, and we will use your assets accordingly to preserve critical infrastructure and homes where we can. Some of these homes are not going to be able to be saved. What? They built them too far out into the hinterland, right? You're not allowed to clear around your home. California has very strict limits about that. And so that stuff encroaches, and it's big fire. It's not little fire. It's big fire. It's floating through the air, and it spreads like that, and there's nothing you can do. And culturally, we were not prepared for that. I'll tell you, in retrospect, I'll tell you, what? And I know General Tulum was like, what is going on? He was pissed. And we didn't understand it. So that on display, you have these home developments, and they want to get away, right? They want to be up in the mountains around all this beautiful nature, and it is beautiful. Well, the downside of that is when you can't clear around those developments, when those things, and you're looking at the fires like coming through. So, and that's California's problem. So I was on the left side of the plane. As you fly east to west into LAX, and the fire was up is in the mountains on the north side of Los Angeles, and then in the mountains of Malibu. And let me tell you, fire doesn't go through that place in 10 or 15 years, and you can imagine the amount of fuel that's in there. So anyway, so that's going on. So I flew into that. The other thing I did last night, I got home, and wait a minute. Before I do anything else, I was sitting here this morning and kind of doing the outline of the show that I do. So, and I see this thing called the Upwalker. I see it's just a 60-second commercial for the Upwalker. If you know somebody who uses a walker, check out the Upwalker. It retails for, you get it for $524.95 on eBay right now. Walmart sells it for $595. So, if you know somebody that uses a walker, I would tell you, get him an Upwalker. Thing's righteous. So let me explain the Upwalker. Right? It's got rollers on it. You know how somebody with a walker normally is bent over? Yeah, the Upwalker is adjustable. So if you choose to use it like that, you can do it. Right? So, but it's adjustable, so you could have it all the way extended up so that you rest your forearms on it and you're completely stood up. Yeah, it's got handbrakes like your bike had. How bitchin' is that? Exactly. It's totally bitchin'. So it's got handbrakes. It's got a drink holder. It's got a little pouch in front like a kangaroo does. Yeah, what is it, marsupial? I'm not even sure what marsupial means. I should look that up, but I'm not going to. I know a kangaroo is a marsupial, whatever the hell that is. Yeah, and there's options to it, okay? You can get, like, the single bag on front, or you could get, like, a bag that has, like, it looks like three pouches. It could be three drink holders. So, yeah, you could, like, you're a one-person rolling party in this thing. But that's not why, that's not why I mention it. You know, you can get side view mirrors for it. Yeah, but it looks awesome in terms of standing upright. You're not having to pick it up and move it and move it and move it. You're able now. I don't know if it's fit for everybody, but I thought it was a pretty cool little invention. Yeah. Called the Upwalker. And there's a whole series of things that you can buy. You can put a little basket on it if you're going to the store and you need to pick up a few things. There's a picture of a man and a woman walking. Woman's walking a dog. He's in the Upwalker, standing upright, got his hands on the brakes, got his pouch in front of him. He's smiling. He's happy. So, yeah, it looks very cool. So you might want to check that out if you know somebody that uses a walker. Anyway, so that's my public service for today. So I thought I'd mention that to you. The other thing I want to talk about after we open the show is Corporal John, no middle initial, McNamara. United States Army, Company D, 1st Engineer Battalion, American Expeditionary Force, World War I, Purple Heart times 2. I'm going to go through my grandfather's military record with you. Pretty cool, pretty cool. My cousin, my dad's youngest brother, whose name is Francis, known as Muggs to the family. That's how I know him. He's my godfather. I called him up last night, and his wife, my Aunt Sally, answered the phone. She said, "Muggs, it's Michael." And he says, "Michael who?" I said, "What did he say? Tell me it's his godson, for Christ's sake." Anyhow, I was looking for a picture of my grandfather in his military uniform. The one I have is him in a suit and tie. I never met him. He passed away in 1944. And I think it was 44. It might have been 45. As a young man. And I've been told from complications of gas, being gassed in World War I. So I'll go through his record with you. Participated in every battle, major engagement that the Allied Expeditionary Force fought in. American Expeditionary Force. That's the AEF in World War I. American Expeditionary Force. In World War I. So, kind of cool. Kind of cool to read. So, I will introduce you to my grandfather, who I never met. My grandfather, he was a, came to this country, I think, when he was 14, by himself, right? You live in a two-story house, you know, your kids at 14, they'll barely stay downstairs when you're upstairs, right? "Hey, John, where are you going?" "I'm going to America." "By yourself?" "Yep, I'm going by myself. Nobody else will go with me, so I'm going by myself." All right, man. Good luck with that. So yeah, I'll walk you through his, and then we'll check some news headlines. Alex Holling's going to join us. I heard about the gunner yesterday. Yeah, I heard about it from another friend. So I was at the airport in Minneapolis, and I was on my phone. And I was just sending out happy birthday wishes to my friends. So one of them calls me, Will Cosentini calls me. He goes, "Hey, I got a call from Gunner yesterday. He FaceTimed me." I'm like, that can't be good. "Yeah, he was MCing some event, and he meets this other guy who's a friend of mine. And then they decide, yeah, let's call him." I'm like, oh, man, was there liquor involved in this? Because this normally doesn't end right. And so Gunner, we'll hear from him this morning. He was being an MC, as we all know. So that sounds like it went pretty well. And so that's what we'll do today. So and I'll tell you, first of all, in case you couldn't tell by the show on Friday, the event in Mankato was awesome. I was interested to see how the whole post-traumatic winning thing would go, and it exceeded my expectation. And I had high expectations, because that's how I am. I'm an optimist. It exceeded those expectations. So we'll talk about that this morning as well. And then I spoke at a luncheon. I took my grandfather's Purple Heart with me. I thought it would be appropriate on the 100th commemoration of the armistice that ended World War II. A luncheon that the Minnesota State University Mankato put on. the president of Davenport. I sat next to him and had a wonderful time. But before I spoke, I introduced my grandfather's Purple Heart. My grandfather's Purple Heart has his name engraved on it. I don't know if they did that back then or if he had that done or whatnot. But I thought it was a fitting way to honor him. But the luncheon was awesome. My message in the luncheon, I talked about post-traumatic winning and what it was. And then the next thing I did was I talked about that we wanted more from veterans. That we're not disabled, we're not damaged as a group. You know, we're like every generation of veterans that this country has ever produced. And our task is to come home and continue to give and continue to make our lives, the lives of people in our communities better, to make our communities better, to continue our service-oriented existence. So I looked at all the veterans and said, do more. Be greater. And then the next message was for everybody. I said, as a veteran, I think I share a concern with a lot of people in this room, and that is the level of disrespect that grows in this country. And we need to be intolerant about it, whether it be politicians or anybody else. The concept of articulate discourse, respectful discourse, ought to be re-embraced. You all have a university here. Be intolerant of people that would be disrespectful, would stomp on somebody else's right to speak, and then demand that when they speak, they be articulate, they be respectful. That's a society that you can live in. So, with all that said this morning, good morning to you. Hope you had a good weekend. Welcome back. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning to you. And it's dedicated to my grandfather, who I never met. Fought in every major battle. He's a combat engineer, Company D, in the 1st Engineer Battalion that was attached to the 1st Infantry Division. So when you look up I have his handwritten record that my cousin Joe, my uncle Muggs' son, Joe is a bit of a historian, and so he has that document, and so he sent me a scanned copy of it, so I kind of transcribed it all, and I'll read you the battles that he participated in. Hi. So dedicated to a grandfather that I never knew. Joined the United States Army in 1917 as a private, and was promoted to the rank of corporal while in combat. So his service and the service of his mates that ended the war to end all wars 100 years ago yesterday.
To this world, You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
You know, I love when Jack Riley says, well, goodness. I thought it was one word. I thought it was goodness. Not the way they say it in Alabama. If you speak Alabama, it's goodness. Well, goodness, Mike. I am a disabled veteran. Jack Riley is an awesome man. I wished him happy birthday over the weekend. He emailed me that he was fired up. He just got his first knee replacement. He said, it's working good. Anyway, we'll check the weather. Currently cloudy and 43 degrees in Quantico. It is partly cloudy, 61. Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Cloudy and 44 in Granbury, Texas. 29 Palms is sunny and 45. That's cold. Camp Pendleton, sun and 51. Okinawa, cloudy, dark and 74. In Iraq, in the Al Anbar province, it is clear, dark and 66. In Afghanistan, in the Lashkar Gah Marja area, it is dark, cloudy, and 63. At the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, a beautiful southern sunny California that's on fire. It is partly cloudy and 52 right now. Feels like 50. Looking for a high of 78 today with high winds. Tomorrow, 78 degrees and partly cloudy. And then on Wednesday, partly cloudy and 78 as well. There are red flag warnings in effect in Southern California, as well as a small craft advisory. So dry conditions, high wind, are what you see on TV. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. You'll meet Private John, no middle initial, McNamara. Came from Lewisburg County in Ireland by himself. Worked his way across the country. His older brother was living in Sacramento where he set up his home. And then back to Europe a few years later as a private in the 1st Engineer Battalion. And fights in every major action that the American Expeditionary Force fights in. Is part of the Army of Occupation of Germany for a little bit less than a year. And then comes home and is discharged. So I'll go through his record with you. It's pretty interesting to look at those documents, those old documents, the handwritten things on there, to include how much money he got sent home with. So trust me, you'll laugh when you hear that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere so I can finally
early indications are any, if early results are any indication of future returns, post-traumatic winning is gonna do good. I said on Friday, but one of the coolest things was that there were just as many people that weren't veterans there that were interested in it. And that is, to me, what's exciting. And that's part of the message to veterans, is that there's people out there, just like there are among us veterans, that the mental health system is failing. And I think it fails a lot of people. And I think it fails a lot of civilians. We can help them. Pretty cool. I said happy birthday to Peyton Davis. So, happy birthday to everybody out there. Alright, my grandfather's, you know what, I'll post the image of his discharge. I don't even think the DD-214 had been invented yet. So, I'm looking at pronunciations or spellings of things that are in his record that are incorrect. Yeah, how about that? All right, this is my grandfather, John. Well, let me see. I have a picture of something. Where the hell is that? At one point, I started looking into our family tree. I'm not a genealogist by trade, but I was interested, and I have no idea where. What did they call that? Oop, here it is, family tree. That's not it. What's really cool is my grandfather you go back and you find different things, like you find like pages out of the census if you ever look up your family's history, right? And it lists where they're from, what, and it's all handwritten if you can find those pages, where they're from, their address, how many people live in the house, the names of the kids, right? I said what languages they speak, what their trade is, all handwritten, and each one of their neighbors. My grandfather, let's see, that's my uncle. According to this document, John McNamara, ethnicity, Great Britain, Irish, place of residence, Lewisburg, Ireland, date of arrival at Ellis Island, July 18th, 1914. Gender male, status single, ship of travel, the Celtic, point of departure, Queenstown. Age of arrival, 22 years. Here's the Queenstown. You could buy the picture for $10. So comes to the United States. Now, why do I have that? I had another uncle that was killed. My grandmother's brother was killed, great uncle, was killed in World War II, and I have some of his documents as well. My grandfather, it said, died on April 5th of 1964. He was 50 years old. So that means he was born in 1896. So in, 1914? He would have been 20 years old. Is that right? 1914? He'd have been 19 or 20 years old. At least according to his death certificate. Born on June 24th, 1895. So 5 and 14 would have been 19 years old when he came to the United States. 3 years later, three years later, joins the Army and heads back to Europe. So anyway, here's his record. All off a handwritten document that I'll post. Name, this is discharge papers, John McNamara. They don't even have NMI for no middle initial. Grade corporal, enlisted September 7th, 1917 at Fort McDowell, California. Where the hell was that? Let's find out. Fort McDowell. Summit of Mount Liverport, Mount Livermore, Tiburon. It's in the San Francisco Bay, for God's sakes. Yeah, so it must have been an Army Navy post out in the middle of the bay. Yeah, you know where the Bay Bridge is? It goes between Oakland and San Francisco. Okay, as you're driving to San Francisco on that bridge, if you look to the right, there's an island out there. Fort McDowell is on that island. Angel Island. Anyway, the Army garrisoned that, right? All the coastal artillery batteries, right? Battery Drew, Battery Ledyard, Camp Reynolds, Point Stewart. Anyway, So that's where you enlist. Prior service none. Non-commissioned officer. Became a corporal. In the midst of some, the war ends, right, in November of 1918. He becomes a corporal in on September 22nd, 1918, in combat. You know what that means? Baller. Straight up baller. Last marksmanship qualification, May 19th, 1919, while he was in Germany. Horsemanship, not mounted. Battles, engagements, skirmishes, expeditions, all with the 1st Combat Engineer Battalion. Okay. He initially, I want to say, is assigned to the 116th, which would have been the battalion that was he was with as he trained and then transferred to the 1st Company D, 1st Engineer Battalion. These are the different actions that he participated in. The Toul sector, the Cantigny sector, where he was wounded twice. The Suzerain sector, the Montdidier Noyon sector, the Aisne-Marne sector, as in the Battle of the Marne, that Saint-Michel sector, Saint-Mihiel sector. I'm pretty sure it's Saint-Michel, but he spells it different in the document. The Meuse-Argonne sector. And then, and that was, he was there twice, in October. Obviously, as an engineer unit, they would be normally, you know, those kind of skills are, hey, we need these guys here, we need them here, they get moved around, and that's why you would see him at so many different places. In support of the 1st Infantry Division. The Meuse-Argonne sector twice, October 1st to 12th in 1918, so as the war is coming to its climatic end, and then November 5th through the 8th, just before the armistice is signed, 1918. Army of Occupation Germany, December 13th, 1918, so a month after the armistice, got on trains, or whatever they got on, and went to Germany, and then stayed in Germany till August 21st of 1919. Served in the American Expeditionary Force, France, from November 26, 1917, evidently when he arrived, to September 4th, 1919, when he left. It says decorations, medals, and citations, none. But that is not true. And you know, which is odd, right? So here's administrators. Decorations, medal citations, none. And then wounded in service twice. Okay, whoever typed this, whoever wrote this, if you've been wounded twice, that's at least Purple Heart times two. So medals, decorations, citations, maybe the Purple Heart. Hello? Next time, pay attention. Army people, man. Unbelievable. Knowledge of any vocation, right? Labor, wounds received in service. The story of my family is that he was gassed, right? And that would have only come from him. But what is written down is shell, May 28th, 1918. And then May 28th, that's in Cantigny, at a battle called Cantigny, and then it says shrapnel, May 17th, 1918. So what's the difference between shell and shrapnel? Would shell be from gas, and shrapnel be from metal from some kind of barrage, artillery barrage? I do not know. Physical condition when discharged. Good. Typhoid prophylaxis completed March 1st, 1919. Paratyphoid prophylaxis completed March 1st, 1919. So he went through the shot line on March 1st, 1919, when he was going through a bunch of stuff. He qualified on the range 2 weeks later. All right, so they were doing their stand down. Let's everybody get everybody shot, get them up to speed. They probably didn't shoot enough during the war, so what the hell. Meritor single, he signal. Character, excellent. Remarks, no AWOL nor absence. Served in the 116th Engineers from September 1917 to December 19th, 2017. So during that time, I would imagine that was his training company. Member of Company D, 1st Engineers, from December 19th, 1917 to September 29th, 1919. A little less than 2 years. Entitled to travel pay to Sacramento, California. And these are, now, this is from, these are stamps that appear on his discharge paper, right? Discharged from the Presidio, San Francisco, California, September 29th, 1919. Paid in full, okay? Paid in full, $125.91. $0.05 a mile to go to Sacramento. So his travel allowance, $0.05 a mile, 0.05 times 80, which would be 80 miles from San Francisco to Sacramento. That would have netted him a whopping $4 plus $60. So he would have been entitled to an additional $64 for travel to get home. Home of record, 1620 9th Street in Sacramento, was wounded in action May 17th, 1918. And that is the shrapnel wound he received. So that is my grandfather's service. But you can see, as a combat engineer in support of the 1st Infantry Division, that's straight up legit. So again, I took his Purple Heart, and he's got. Let me take about a 60-second break. I'll go get his medals. They're in the other room. Michael Jim, when he passed away, I thought it was appropriate that I have his medals, so I have them here, and I took them with me. So we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up. I just got to run in my bedroom and grab his medals. 60 seconds. Stand by.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We continue. Yeah, I don't know if it was he had this done, but his Purple Heart was never mounted on any kind of rack. They didn't do that. Those were not invented. Today you see medals once you receive them, if you have more than one, and he did, you would see them all mounted on a bar so it sits straight on your uniform. But my grandfather's Purple Heart that I have here in my hand. On the back of the Purple Heart Medal, it says, for military merit. And then his name engraved, John McNamara. Very cool. So I took that with me up to Mankato. And before I spoke, I stopped and I took a picture. And you'll see the picture when I put this all up. I can't read. I need a light on. He's got a good conduct medal. That's what I couldn't read. I could, for efficiency, at the time it says for efficiency, honor, fidelity. That's his good conduct medal. Then he's got an American Legion medal. And the writing on the medal is, you can imagine, pretty small. And I should probably have them polished, too. So let me turn the light on, the flashlight on my phone. That's Train in the background, by the way. It's called Bruises. They can shut up. Yeah, it's a symbol of the American Legion. And I can't read what's... Oh, it's a medal from the Veterans of Foreign Wars. But it's like a no-kidding medal. So he has that. And then this one is 1917 First Division American Expeditionary Force to 1919. So it has the symbol of the big red one. It has two cannons on either side, a wreath, and then crossed rifles, and then the shield that was the symbol of the AEF. And then it has all the battles on the back of it. Somerville, Ansoisville, Picardy, Cantigny, Second Marne, Saint-Mihiel, Meuse-Argonne, Mouzon-Sedan, Coblenz, Bridgehead. So it has all those. And then he's got kind of this rainbow looking thing, this medal that has all these brass clips on it, right? So the on the front of the medal is a it looks like Michael the Archangel with a shield and a sword. On the back of the medal it says the Great War for Civilization. And on one side it says France, Italy, Serbia, Japan. Oops, sorry about that. Japan, Montenegro, Russia, Greece. On the other side it says Great Britain, Belgium, Brazil, Portugal, Romania, and China. China? Who knew? And then the little black, the little brass clips that go on the metal, evidently, I don't know how the hell you would do this. I'm looking at the way they did it. How you would clip them on. So on the fabric part of the metal are the battles that you participated in. Montdidier, Noyon, Asnimarne, Saint-Mihiel, Meuse-Argonne. And then it says defensive sector. So he has that. Then he has a ribbon. I don't know what that ribbon is. It's a blue ribbon with an oak leaf, with some kind of oak leaf cluster. He has a Knights of Columbus medal. He has a cross because he's a Catholic, good Catholic man. And then he has his VFW pin. So yeah, pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. So my grandfather. my grandfather's stuff. Can't even read that, it's so small. I'm getting old, I think. So, John McNamara, engineer. Yeah, some of those battles, right? Digging communication trenches, all the stuff they did, in a pinch, acting as infantry. So, there you have it. The Texan News headlines. Alex Holling's going to join us here in a few minutes. And I just want to follow up my comments on Emmanuel Macron, you know, using this event to make his own political statement. Inappropriate. Inappropriate. And I would also challenge this history. Go look at the era that spawned World War I and tell me how much that our current era in Europe corresponds to that. Macron is part of a small group of world leaders that believe that globalism is the way to the future. For the United States to consent to have on-your-ass countries like France as peers is something that is a road I hope the United States never goes down. Yeah, well, we're not doing it because the French say we're not supposed to. The American people elect a president. The American people should not be ruled or their economic policies governed by people outside this country. And that is the notion of globalism. The world is more interconnected than it ever could have imagined that it would be. Economically, culturally, visually, we see what goes on around the world. What happened that spawned World War I was a series of alliances, the instability of places where boundaries were drawn without regards to where they should have been drawn. And some of that, you know, we continue to pay for today in the Middle East. Again, you can lay that at the foot of the Brits and the French drawing boundaries around peoples they didn't know shit about. This American nationalism, what do you mean? You mean that we want you to pay your own way in NATO? That nationalism? Oh, you mean that our disappearing middle class to prop up other economies? You mean we shouldn't look after Americans first? When you negotiate those things, you look after French people first. But America's not supposed to do that. We've underwritten your sorry-ass country since World War II. Macron, man, that guy's dead to me. I mean, and again, and factually incorrect. Europe needs its own army, you know, to make sure that it can steer some kind of different course than the United States might have it steer, so it can fight Russia and possibly China. Hey, good luck with that, bud. Go ahead. We'll get out of the way. How about it? You and Angela Merkel, who's on her way of getting thrown out of Germany. Again, this notion of globalism, I don't get it. I don't understand how a nation doesn't behave in its own best interest. I understand cooperation, but this notion of globalism? You've seen what people in the UK think of it. Not so much. Like the economics of it? But when other nations stick their nose into your internal business, not so much. Not so much. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe I think the President of the United States, his first loyalty ought to be to the people of the United States, to the workers of the United States, and the United States' long-term strategic interest. I saw it. And then the other thing that it doesn't surprise me, but it's in the media, nobody calls bullshit on it, right? so quick to point out everything that the President of the United States says that they take issue with. And then Macron, they just let it go. To me, it's stunning. Absolutely positive stunning. I just thought it was stupid. So, all right, we'll take a break. Holling's going to stand by and join us. I'll ask him what he thought of all of that. Yeah, so don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.